The fourth quarter is arguably the most misleading quarter that we face as sales professionals. In this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, I'm going to get into why I feel that way, but more importantly, what you need to be doing differently as we approach year end. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we begin, I want to tell you why I decided to not only do this podcast today, but really harp on this idea about attacking the fourth quarter differently. For years now, if you've been following me, especially on this podcast, I've been talking about getting going on the fourth quarter earlier, being equipped for the fourth quarter and the things that we're faced with, because it is a very different period of time. I'm certainly going to get into why I feel that way and what you can do about it. But the real kicker for me, and I want to be very careful how I say this, because I don't know about you guys, but I just absolutely despise some of these people that are out there. Mostly, I hate to say it, other sales trainers who are beating up and criticizing the whole universe of sales reps. And they're making these generalized statements, just really being overcritical. And many times when I hear those types of statements, particularly with the attitude that goes with it, right away I'm thinking, this sounds like a sales trainer who hasn't sold jack shit in probably two decades. They have forgotten what it's like to be out there in the trenches. So I'm really hesitant to say what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. And here comes the tough love. I put out a question not even a week ago, and I put it out on Twitter. Quick side note, if you're not following me and we're not following each other on Twitter, please visit Twitter and look me up. I'm at Paul Castain, all just like one crazy word, at PaulCastain. And I put a lot of questions out there and a lot of content. And before I tell you what the question was, I also went over to my Facebook group. Again, if we're not interacting over in my Facebook group, it's called Sales Playbook. Sales Playbook. Look us up. It is a private group. I'm happy to grant access to you. We have, I'm guessing, about 350 or so, 360 members over there. I believe I put this question out over on LinkedIn in the Sales Playbook community over there. 61,000 members there, quite a bit more than the Facebook community. And here's the question, and I'm paraphrasing a bit. And it was along the lines of, will you change your tactics going into the fourth quarter? The thing that shocked me the most was the responses that I got from people. I would say that it was a good 95% across the board in all the different platforms where I asked this question said, no, they will not, including several people that almost gave me, I guess, and I hate to say an attitude, because it really wasn't an attitude, but really put that opinion like, why would I change my tactics if shit's been working all year? And on the surface, you're right. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I get it. And perhaps, in retrospect, I asked the wrong question. Maybe what I should have been asking was, will you deploy additional tactics? I don't know. Maybe there was confusion. But it just absolutely blew me away that about 95% of those people that responded, and on some of the platforms, I had a pretty healthy response. They were thinking, no, it's no different. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, man, you guys are missing it. There is a lot of different things in the fourth quarter. So we're going to get into that today. So that's what prompted this whole thing. I've already done a blog post on this earlier this week, and I figured now it would be a good idea for me to dig even deeper on the podcast. So having said all that, let's get down to, I guess it's about seven things that I have for you. I'm going to try to whip through them because I just kind of took a little bit longer than I should have on that first part of the podcast. So basically, the very first thing that I want you to do going into the fourth quarter is to take a good, healthy look at your pipeline. Take a very good look at the pipeline and make sure that as of right now, if you're looking at that pipeline going into the fourth quarter, do you have enough to nail the types of numbers? And it's not, and I'm purposely saying, hit those numbers, nail those numbers or whatever, as opposed to your quota. Because yeah, we're not in this, ladies and gentlemen, to just, oh, I don't know, get by or survive. We're in it to thrive. We're in it to be rock stars. That's the whole point of us being humble students and listening to podcasts like this and trying to get better at our craft. We're not looking to survive or just get by or fly under the radar. We want to do the best we can for all kinds of reasons, and I'll just bottom line it and get into some selfish shit. You make more money when you sell more stuff, right? I mean, seriously, never mind this, I get to help more people and all the warm, fuzzy stuff. If those are your reasons, God bless. But let me bottom line it. Being a father of three, coming up on the holidays, I've been both broke at the holidays and I've had money in my pocket at the holidays. And I'm telling you, I enjoy the holidays a lot more when I'm not struggling. But also from a competitive perspective, I think it's awesome when we're trying to get into the President's Club program, or we're trying to be ranked higher on the national charts that we have in our organization. So again, we're not just looking to thrive. So I want you to look at your pipeline. Now, conventional wisdom is that there's a 3-to-1 ratio on the pipeline. So what we want to do is we want to have 3 times the amount that we really need to sell in the pipeline. So very, very quick, basic math. If you need to sell 1 million in the fourth quarter, you would need to have 3 million in your pipeline. Again, another side note for you, there are more accurate ways of calculating what you really need to have in your pipeline. And we'll certainly get into that another day, but I want to just throw something into the mix that you might not be thinking about. And again, this is all part of the fourth quarter being a bit more misleading and being by far the most misleading quarter that we face as sales professionals. So if normally you're operating on a 3-to-1 ratio, if you believe in that and you buy into that, because certainly I'm not the first person that's expressed that to you. This has been around forever in sales. One of the things that doesn't take into effect, the 3-to-1 ratio, is that the fourth quarter is a little bit different. And so what you need to do, before I tell you what makes it so different, you need to go back, if you can, and look at the historical data for your organization, and particularly if you've been there for a while, what your numbers have been in the month of December and how you've closed out that fourth quarter. Because if historically you look and you realize, oh wow, that 3-to-1 thing really doesn't apply in the fourth quarter, that's more like I need like a 4 or 5-to-1. Hey, isn't it better to come to that realization before you're knee deep in the fourth quarter? I mean, hell, it would have been better if you came up with that in the third or the second quarter, or you began the year that way. But don't get so caught up in this year-end stuff that you miss opportunities to do something better next year at this time, or next year earlier when you really need to get going on this. So that's the first thing. Take a good look at where is your pipeline right now. and what you really need. What's that number? Is it a 3-to-1 ratio? Is it a 4-to-1 ratio? Is it a 2-to-1 ratio? Because maybe historically the fourth quarter has been gangbusters for you guys. But it's, again, your mileage might vary, right? So get a good grasp on that. The second thing that I want you to do is we're going to play less pretend for a minute. I want you to pretend that you are a contractor and you are going to a job site and you know the details of the project and you're going into your ginormous, right? Don't you love that word? Your ginormous tool shed. And you need to now take the tools that you're going to need to do the job properly. And you're gonna load up the truck and load up the toolbox with the tools that are necessary, job-specific tools. Well, I want you to do the same thing now. Now you can fire yourself as being, what were you, about 30 seconds into that new career as a contractor. Now we're going back to sales, because we realize, shit, I don't wanna be a contractor. I wanna sell stuff, and I wanna kick ass and make President's Club and make all kinds of money so I can buy Castain's courses and hire him as a sales coach. So what I want you to do now is look at the quarter ahead. And I want you to take a hard look in the mirror, an honest look in the mirror, and assess your skill level going into the fourth quarter. And to make it easier for you, there's one thing I used to give away all the time on this podcast. I haven't done it. I'm guessing it's got to be at least 5 or 6 months since I've given it away. I came up with this checklist, and we call it the qualities of sales rock stars checklist, right? Quality of a sales rock star checklist that we have. And there must be a good 80 qualities that we flagged. What I want you to do is go to, get ready for this. If you're driving, please pull over. We want you to be safe. YourSalesPlaybook.com/checklist. YourSalesPlaybook.com/checklist. There is a really cool PDF with all these qualities listed for you. You'll also notice to the right of each quality is an opportunity for you to rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10. So whip through it. It usually takes about 3 to 5 minutes to do this. It's not gonna take that long to do. But don't be so busy that you just blow this off. Seriously, that's another thing that we do a lot and says, well, we're so busy. I'm busy with month end right now, Paul. Oh, and now I'm busy because I gotta close the year strong. No, sometimes you gotta jump off that treadmill in order to be able to be more efficient and effective going forward. And this is one of those moments. Or, you know, heaven forbid, you wake up 5 minutes earlier, right? Or work 5 minutes later. But what I want you to do is print it out, look at the skills that you're going to need. And then what I want you to do is just take the items where you scored the lowest. Also take some of the ones where you scored high, but you still think they're going to be really important qualities to have, almost like that contractor's toolbox for the project ahead, which is the fourth quarter. I want you to look at it. And when I share some of the things that make the fourth quarter different in a few moments, also take that into account as you assess yourself. Make sure you have the right tools going into the quarter. And again, be honest with yourself. Okay, so that's the second thing. Next, I want you to seriously consider not only a change in tactics, but perhaps embracing additional tactics. So what do I mean by this? What do I mean when I said before that it shocked me that a lot of people thought you didn't have to change things up going into the fourth quarter? So let me throw just a handful of things that are going to be different in the fourth quarter. And again, some of these things may not apply to you. Some of them are going to be spot on. I can't possibly know what everybody is faced with out there, but just some, like on a generic level, you have decision makers right now that are trying to stretch their budget. Perhaps they were too aggressive the other three quarters in spending, and now they're looking at what's left and they have to stretch it. This is an opportunity for you to help them between now and year end. And this isn't just prospects, by the way. Think clients as well. You also have prospects and clients and suspects that need to use their budget. How does budget work, folks? Use it or lose it. So there they are. They need to utilize this. Or next year, somebody's going to say, all right, well, you said $1 million and you only used $700,000. So guess what your budget is this year? $700,000. So they have to use it. You have other people that right now are planning next year's budget. Again, if you could, we always talk about these things in sales, about being, giving value and value added and being a trusted advisor. Well, if somebody is planning their budget, that could be an ideal time for you to be that advisor. You could help them. This is what you understand. You know what they're truly going to need, especially once you do a good needs analysis, because you know the costs that are involved. You also know the hidden costs that are involved. These are all things that help you demonstrate your value and get to that trusted advisor level. The other things that you need to think about is that you have decision makers right now who are concerned, and certainly stakeholders, they're concerned with what? Finishing strong. How can you help them do that? You know your product. I know what I can do. And by the way, that's part of the reason why I'm here today. Because I know this is one of the things, one of the many things that you guys need from me for you to finish strong. We're thinking about this kind of stuff this time of year. But we're also, and a lot of decision makers certainly, are thinking about seasonal industry events. Every quarter, you have different things that go on in different industries. For example, I have a client that deals with machinery. And I don't know what the name of the big event is off the top of my head, but every November, there is this big event. And all the people that they serve go to this event. Everybody talks about it. People even are hesitant to buy things prior to November because they want to wait for the big industry event. But you might have things like that, or your clients might have things like that, or the verticals that you're serving, there might be these seasonal events. So think about that. You also have right now an opportunity for you to change up your messaging, because we said seasonal events, you also have changes in thinking with the season. I'll give you a great example, and I'm so glad, and I hope you guys do this too. You ever get an idea, but you're so damn busy, you forget to jot it down somewhere, and you're like, you know, I had that idea about how I can get into that account, or I had this idea from my client, the ABC company. Oh shit, I forgot it now. Well, what I do now, unless I'm driving and it just, I don't want to do what I'm about to say when I'm driving, but if I'm sitting somewhere at a desk, whatever, and I get an idea, I just go right to my smartphone and I do a few different things. I either hit the voice memo, which is nice and quick, or what I do is I go to the notepad, which I do a lot. If it's something that I was reading something and I want to make sure that I need that memory cue again, I'll screenshot something that maybe was said over on LinkedIn or a status update or whatever. I'll do that as a reminder and just a memory cue to get me back to that. Because that's all I need is just a little memory cue, and then it brings me back to whatever it was that I wanted to remember. But the other day, I was listening to Pandora, and I was listening to a type of music that I normally don't listen to on a regular basis. I don't know why I'm sharing that with you. It's just like one of those moments where I just started spewing TMI. Sorry. But anyway, this ad came up, and I thought the ad was very interesting. Not that this really applies to you, the ad itself, but the tactic does. So again, don't listen to the ad itself or the message itself, but I want you to rip off the tactic. So what this ad basically said, it was a local car dealer, and they were talking about preparing your car for the weather ahead. You see, I think about that kind of stuff this time of year when it starts getting a little bit colder. And you know what? I wish I was that good that I really thought a lot about that stuff this time of year. but it's not quite that cold out. If I was really on my game, like some people are, I would be thinking more about getting the car winterized before we go into the cold months. But once that temperature starts really dropping down, then I'm really going to think about it. But that is an example of what I'm talking about and using the season. But there's more to it than that. We obviously have the changes in weather that I just mentioned. We have seasonal messaging opportunities like Halloween. We have Thanksgiving. We have Christmas and Hanukkah. And we even though this is beyond the end of the fourth quarter, we have New Year's. And each one of those things gives us an opportunity to change up our messaging. My issue with sales messaging is that it's all the same and very typical. I don't just say this as somebody who's trained. Now, it's pretty close to about 25,000 sales reps. I really have to update the announcement in the beginning of the Sales Playbook podcast from 20,000 to about 25,000. But I also say this as someone who's been a business owner now for almost 9 years. So I'm on the receiving end of a lot of sales messaging. And all of it sounds the same. And the message, usually I see two flavors of messaging. Flavor number one is, I want to sell you something. Flavor number two is, can we set an appointment so I can sell you something? And it's not being said that way, but that is the gist of it. And if we want to get technical, there actually is a third flavor. Hey, did you get my prior message about me trying to sell you something? Really, I mean, that's happening a lot too. And you guys have heard me rant about that. But what's beautiful about the fourth quarter, every quarter really, but the fourth quarter is that we have this opportunity to change up the messaging. We could do some fun stuff around Halloween and some creative stuff around Halloween. We can do some stuff around Thanksgiving, around Christmas. We can, Cintas, by the way, does something very interesting. Year round they do this. They call it a seeding, like you're seeding the lawn, a seeding campaign. And what they're doing, sorry, folks, I was about to cough and about to cough again. And if you know me, I don't edit it out. Sorry. Anyway, what they do throughout the years, they do these seeding campaigns to become top of mind with their potential clients, with their suspects. And what they do is they use creativity and they make these kits. And they, to me, this is such a great example of almost like that guerrilla marketing type of approach where it's down and dirty and quick and inexpensive, but yet very creative and very memorable. So what they do with these seeding campaigns, usually they'll get some kind of just a basic little flat box that you can close up. And you could go down to any kind of a packaging supply store. Hell, you could go down to Staples and get a bunch of those too. And they're inexpensive because nothing is printed on there. And in some cases, in many cases, they go and they have stickers printed up that they put on the outside of it. So again, it looks like there was some kind of thought that was put into this. And then on the inside, they play on a seasonal theme usually. And well, right now we have football season. And I know for a fact, because in the upcoming webinar that we have, I'll be showing a few slides with pictures of these seeding campaigns that I've seen. And it's really cool because what they'll do is they'll have like a little toy football in there. They have like this candy bar called Take Five in there. They have a little card printed up, and it has a coach or a referee, rather, with a timeout symbol, and it has maybe a few helpful hints or something like that. But they're playing on that theme. Now, one of the things we underestimate throughout the entire year is how doing something like this that's different and quote-unquote out of the box really is a breath of fresh air to the recipient, who is usually getting something that sounds the same as the other 2,000 messages that they get inside of a quarter. Tons of messaging that they're getting as a buyer, as a decision maker. So it becomes very typical. And then along comes Cintas with something that is fun. Sometimes it's funny. It's useful because there's things in there, whether it's helpful hints or, heck, a candy bar, and having fun with it. So that's something that you can do, too. You could do these seeding campaigns. You could do it around a Halloween theme. You could do it around football. You could do it around, you know, the holiday season or whatever. But this is an opportunity for you to change your tactics by changing your messaging. The next thing that you really have to change in the fourth quarter, and this is the one that I really want to drive home with you guys, time management. You have to become better at managing your time. This is the most misleading quarter that we face because there's actually less time. As we begin the quarter, or as I was saying that to you, that it's misleading, you might be thinking, but I have to the end of December. You do and you don't. But the time that you think you have, like in a typical quarter, you do not have in the fourth quarter. Let me tell you why. So what I want you to do is I want you to think about, first of all of the three-day weekends that exist between now and year end, right? We have here in the U.S., we have Columbus Day. We have Veterans Day. We also have, and it's not necessarily a three-day weekend, but the Jewish holidays. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a second because you might be thinking, yeah, but that doesn't affect me. But wait a minute. Is it possible that a buyer might take off the same day their child is off from school? Because I think it is. And I've experienced this as a parent because we weren't going to leave our kids alone in the house. It may be kind of shitty parenting, right? That's the stuff that a call to child services is made of. So when you have days that people are off from school, Election Day here in the U.S., if they have young children and they don't have childcare, a parent is going to take a day off. So you have that. Now you have a four-day weekend. You have Thanksgiving here in the U.S. and in Canada. And you might be thinking, well, okay, so that's only really Thursday and Friday. It really isn't. And I want you to think about this with an open mind. And even look at yourself when it comes to this. Is a four-day weekend just a four-day weekend? Or is there? Let's be honest with each other here. Is there a chance that people sometimes, and I'm being really gentle here because I'm really trying hard not to be a dick. But sometimes, you know, I fail at that. So maybe I should just be a dick. But is it possible that people mentally check out a few days before the holiday? You know, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm going to be, I love Thanksgiving, by the way, not just because I'm fat and because I love food, and I'm fat because I love food. I feel like fat bastard. I'm fat because I eat, and I eat because I'm fat, but that's kind of it. But it's such a warm holiday, and it's such a no-pressure holiday because you don't have to get involved in all the gift-giving. You just stuff your effing face. It's amazing, but it's such a warm holiday. And you start holidays psychologically have a lot of impact on us because we start to reminisce. Maybe we're thinking of loved ones that are no longer with us. So our thoughts can get away from us at the holidays. And I also think, now that I've been real nice, I think people milk the shit out of holidays. I'm sorry they do. I think if they could milk the shit out of Groundhog's Day, they would milk the shit out of that. They do it with Thanksgiving. And what should be a four-day weekend really becomes, in many cases, about 7 days that's lost because you have a few days on the front end. And God forbid that you call everybody and try to do business and get back going on the Monday after a holiday, because that's sacrilege. Because everybody should be talking about what they did, Aunt Sadie's pie that she made, and this uncle who got shit-faced and started arguing over the game. And how about the game? It was an amazing football game. All that kind of stuff. You don't want to get back to business. So we mentally check out. But now, speaking of mental, and all those things I mentioned so far, the kids home from school, the three-day weekends, Thanksgiving, this is a loss in time. The mental checkout that gets tagged onto that. And then we hit the absolute World Series of mental checkouts, and it's Christmas time. What happens with certain industries, and many, because I'm seeing it get worse and worse over the years, and I've served many industries over my entire career, and I'm seeing it get worse and worse. Here's what happens. What should be 1 week of holiday celebration becomes, in many cases, a 30-plus day mental checkout. In some instances, we see that people are mentally checking out right after Thanksgiving. And this is when people are saying, hey, call me back after the holidays. And they're just putting off till tomorrow or next year what they should be doing then. So in many cases, it stops there. But certainly, by the second week in December, you see a lot of it. A lot of people are really not looking at that point to take meetings, like new business types of meetings or meeting new vendors during that time. Yeah, we're shutting that down. And they start giving you all kinds of BS excuses where, yeah, we're knee deep in our year end or whatever. No, they're not. They just don't want to get wrapped up in new initiatives, some of them. You'll see some of the deals that you have that are active. A lot of people saying, hey, you know what? Let's talk about that next year. Let's talk about that once January gets up and, you know, going, right? Let's deal with that later. People start, again, milking the holiday. So here's the deal. When you add up, and again, I gave you a really wide range for that mental checkout. When you start adding up the three-day weekends, you start adding up all the days that the kids are home from school, you start adding up, again, the mental checkouts. Here's another one that we didn't talk about. Is it possible that some of the decision makers that you're targeting or that you're actively working with have to use up their vacation and sick time so they're out? So it might be more difficult to get a hold of them. So you have all these things that are going on, and you're ready for the best one, you might be mentally checking out. And I know what that feels like because I've been there, because I know I sound like this insensitive son of a bitch here that's kind of like, yeah, bah, humbug, the holidays. I happen to love the holidays, seriously. You guys aren't going to outdo me when it comes to Christmas and how much of a kid I am. I am a big kid. I love that holiday. And I also have just a lot of sentimental attachment to Christmas. But I'm telling you right now, I despise this idea that we're going to milk 30 days out of what should have been maybe a week. But we have to deal with that. So we go into the quarter now thinking we have a full quarter. You don't. When you start taking those things that I mentioned and subtracting them off the top, you could easily lose 1 month of that quarter, and that's substantial. That's 33% of the quarter that you're losing. And that could kill you. So you're going to have to get better at time management because of that. You're going to, I mean, one of the things that I recommend that you do, and I say this hesitantly, and I think we need to be very careful how we do this, but you might need to start putting in a little overtime right now and picking up the pace. Why? If you are part of an industry or you sell to industries that everything just comes to a dead stop. And certainly things are going to come to a dead stop between Christmas and New Year's. And I have news for you. We think we have that week to close business, but if people are out on vacation and they're completely mentally checked out, you can't count on that business closing that week. So at a minimum, after all that stuff I said to you, we've got to get this stuff wrapped up at least before Christmas time. So what we're going to need to do in some cases is start putting in some extra effort now to get it all done. One of the things I've been doing is I've been working a little bit more on the weekends. And I want to be very careful about how you read into that, because I am very big on putting all these hustle porn imbeciles in their place, the people that are bragging about still being in the office at 12:30 in the morning and how early they get up and how they never sleep. And it's just, it's too much. I really believe that we have to have a life outside of work as well. As a parent of three and now three grown children, I wouldn't have had it any other way. I have no regrets. I have very strong relationships with my kids. And the reason why I do is because I wasn't off all the time, every waking moment of their lives, off working. There are times when the family has to be a part of it. So when I say putting in some time on the weekends, here's what I think you should do or what you should consider. First of all, the reason why you're doing this is because you're front-ending some of the work you're not going to be able to do at the end of the quarter, because you're going to have a lot more time on your hands. And you know what? If you put the work in now, maybe you can enjoy a little more time with your family at the holidays. If it's truly that dead and there's nothing going on and you've put all the work in and you've nailed your numbers or whatever it is, maybe that's some more time that you could take then. But what I do is, on the weekend, I get up earlier than my family. And I'm not putting long hours in on the weekend. I'm getting up early before they get up. And anybody who has teens or even kids in their 20s, you know that they love to sleep. They're not getting up at the crack of dawn. So I'm getting up at the crack of dawn. And I'm working on certain things like pre-call planning, that setting up my calls and the research and everything that I need to do so that I can just systematically nail those calls next week. That's one of the things that I'm doing. I'm doing more direct mail on the weekends, handwritten notes. I'm embedding video into emails, which is one of the tactics that we teach in a lot of the courses that I do, a lot of the online webinars and such. I'm doing things like that. I'm doing creative things. I'm taking time to think out some of the big opportunities that I'm working on and some of the big opportunities I want to get in front of. Sometimes just taking a little time to think about it instead of reacting all the time, or kind of a seat of your pants decision, it makes all the difference in the world. I only do a few hours and then I spend time with the family. That's what I do. And again, I know many of you are in the situation I am. I'm at a point with my family where we don't want to and we can't be 24/7 in each other's face on the weekend. Everybody else is managing their relationships that they have. People are dating people. People are serious with people. Heck, my daughter right now is actually in Oktoberfest over in Germany. So she's dealing with that. So there are things that are going on that I don't have to be involved with my family 24/7. But still, I want to have a little time to recharge too. So when I say the weekends, don't think I'm saying don't have a weekend, it's work, work, work. I want you to play too, because I think that's an important part of it. So you have to get better with that. You have to be quicker to blow off time wasters. And sometimes those time wasters are going to be people. I'll give you a great example of something, and I'm sure you have versions of this. Sometimes you find yourself just getting into a really stupid conversation with somebody. Seriously, right? We've all been there. A really stupid conversation that you know at the end of that conversation, you are not going to convert them to your way of thinking. They're not going to convert you to their way of thinking. And hate to be a sales whore here, but there's no effing money at the end of this conversation. And to me, in that fourth quarter, I really have to be engaged with things that are going to lead to money. Sorry if that lessens your opinion of me, but that's where I need to be focused, because I want to finish strong. So that's where I need to spend the bulk of my time. But I received an email from someone after I sent out one of my mass emails that I send out to people who have subscribed to the things that I send out. And this person took, I don't understand how they had this kind of time on their hands. And they certainly should have been doing something else with that time. But it was paragraph upon paragraph berating me for using an email campaign and why I should. Why aren't I using other things? And what I wanted to say is, how do you know what I'm doing? What do you think? This is the only thing that I do? I teach this shit. This isn't my first rodeo. I do lots of different things. And as my fingers went to the keyboard, I said, why am I even going to explain myself to this dipshit? There is no reason to do it. I mean, so I let it go and I moved on. But also, there are other things. Sometimes it's a coworker that you might have to cut short and say, hey, I don't mean to be rude. I need to make my phone calls. We're in crunch time right now. Or what I like to do, I don't have to do it anymore because I work on my own, but when I worked in a busy office, I would always put it on me and say, hey, you know what? I really promised myself that I was going to up my game with my prospecting. I'm awfully sorry if it seems like I'm cutting you short, but you know, while I'd rather talk with you, I really have to make these calls. So if you don't mind, I got to get back to it. You know, maybe we could talk about this at lunchtime, whatever. You got to be quicker at cutting that stuff short. You have to be quicker at cutting time wasters with clients and potential clients. You also have to be quicker to give up on opportunities in the fourth quarter. And when I say give up, I don't mean forever and ever and ever to the end of time and a door being slammed shut for all of eternity. I mean that sometimes it's not the best thing to be doing right now. And what happens is, in sales, and for those of us who are obsessed with success, we start to think about our opportunities in a very competitive fashion. And you know what? I'm going to turn this guy around. I'm going to change their thinking. And this one in particular, I'm going to close them, or I'm going to bring them on board. And this would be the person that would be the ultimate person to turn around in their thinking, because they were highly skeptical. And sometimes we cling to those things too long. And in the time and effort and care and love and nurturing and attention that we have to spend convincing these people, we could have closed two or three other deals in that amount of time. So I'm not saying that you burn the bridge there. I'm not saying that you give up forever. I'm saying sometimes we have to be the ones who say not now. But sometimes there are things that are just not good for our side of the business that we have to cut short and part as friends. We often look at sales as this type of relationship where the decision maker makes the decision. I don't agree with that. I think that there's a decision they have to make, but I also think there's a decision we have to make. Not all business is good business. Not all clients are good clients to bring on board. So that doesn't mean that we walk around arrogant and snobby, because we'd have really skinny kids if we did that, right? But I think we have to look at these relationships as relationships amongst peers, a collaborative relationship. And if I am courting someone who's an asshole, or courting someone who it's just not going to be good for my company, I'm going to cut that short. And in fairness, if I see I'm not a good match for them, I will be the first one to let them know. And that might shock you. Oh, you don't do that. I really do, because I believe that people are going to see your true colors eventually, right? They're going to see it. You could maybe fool them today, but sooner or later, they're going to realize that you didn't have the ability to service that account to their high expectations, or you weren't able through your widget to be able to provide the solution that they have set at a very high level of expectation. So to me, it's better to cut that short. But just again, in the fourth quarter, I need to cut that short quicker, because I don't have as much time. I have to be really good about managing my time in terms of hunting for new business as well. And that's going to bring us into another thing that I want you to watch out for. We're going to get into that in a second. So let me move on to the next thing. You know, the other thing that we have to do, as far as a change in tactics, is that we have to recognize that in the fourth quarter, we're under the gun. And when we're under the gun in sales, you may not realize it, but sometimes the prospect smells blood. They can sense your desperation. And the very least that might happen is that that might cost you more money and profitability and getting the ideal amount that you'd really like to get for that sale, because they smell blood and you came across as desperate. But you might also piss a lot of people off, and you might not realize it, but you're becoming a real pain in the ass. So one of the things that you have to get better at during the fourth quarter is gently tightening the leash on these deals to keep them moving forward, without all of a sudden get to 1 week before year end and jerking that leash because it's really gotten away from you. So what you have to get better at, especially think about that right now, at the beginning of your deals in the fourth quarter, you want to gently tighten that leash. Now, what do I mean by that? Very quick example. One of the things I teach my clients to do is to assign homework at the end of every meeting. And we assign homework first to ourselves and say, hey, Miss Prospect, I obviously have my work cut out for me. I need to do A, B, and C. Then what you do is you say, hey, fair is fair. And it's important that you keep saying hey a lot, like I just did. Just so you know, that's an important part of this whole thing. But it's also important that you say to them, fair is fair. There are a few things that you're going to have for homework. This, this, and this. You put timelines on those things. You put timelines on the things that you're supposed to do. You get everybody's buy-in, And now what you do is you make sure that everybody keeps to the timeline. This is how we keep things moving ahead. This is how we get people to continue thinking about us between meetings and phone calls and follow-ups and calling to check in, whatever the hell you do. But this is how we gently tighten that leash. There's other ways to do it too, but that's what I'm talking about. There's a lot of ways to gently tighten the leash versus just really like jerking the leash and becoming desperate and a pain in the ass and pushy, and you're embracing every type of bad 1970s closing tactic. The other thing you have to get better at, and this has to kind of do with the last thing I said, is seasonal stalls. You're going to have people saying things about budget. You're going to have what we said before, not seeing any new vendors until the beginning of the year. We're putting a hold on this type of project until after the holidays. Call me back in January. Call me back after the holidays. Remember, we are now living in a world that if people could use Groundhog Day as an excuse, they're going to do it. But you see, holidays weren't just invented, ladies and gentlemen. They've been around us our entire life. But yet we act shocked when we say, man, nobody's returning my calls. Everybody's saying, call me back at the beginning of the year. Now it's too late. You're desperate. You got a week or two left before year end. And that last week is Christmas and New Year's, and you're screwed. So you have to be prepared for that. And one of the assignments that I like to give is I want you to think about how you're going to respond to the seasonal stalls that you hear. But the biggest one, call me back after the holidays. And I want you to come up with three responses for that. And if you're a sales manager, or heck, if you're a sales rep, maybe you can go to your sales manager and say, this crazy guy, Paul Castain, that I'm always listening to his podcast, even if you don't always listen to my podcast, tell him that you always do, so I have more clout with your boss. He suggests that we all do this assignment individually on the sales team, and we have a sales meeting where we all bring our responses, or at the very least, email our responses to you, and you can compile a document with all these different responses to call me back after the holidays. You see, when you have several responses to typical objections, typical stalls, seasonal stalls like we're talking about right now, it will never be a matter of, can I respond? Could I respond? It's now, well, how shall I respond? I've got this whole arsenal. Like that contractor we talked about, they have this whole shed of tools, and you will have that whole shed, this whole arsenal of responses. You will notice a huge difference in your confidence level. You will be able to transition seamlessly from discussion to handling a stall, a seasonal stall at that. So that's one of the things that I want you to do. One of the biggest mistakes that people make in the fourth quarter, and I'm going to make this the last thing we're going to talk about today because we covered a lot and I certainly took up a lot of time here. What I want you to realize is that one of the biggest mistakes that people make in the fourth quarter, and I believe this is something that you have to get better at, there is just so much emphasis on closing business, closing out the year, finishing strong. And some of it, you're to blame for it. But a lot of it, in many cases, it's your boss saying, hey, don't forget, I want all efforts. And they probably sound like that, even if it's a woman. I want all efforts on closing business. Everybody, get in their face. Get back into those appointments. Get back into those accounts. And the emphasis is on closing business. And what happens is a few things. You're not spending any time getting in front of new opportunities. So let's say you are a closing machine and you close more than the average person, and you look at that pipeline, you are losing your best prospects. So now the fourth quarter ends, and now the beginning of the year starts, and you have nothing. You have 3 months of not prospecting. Also, you have 3 months of getting rusty because you didn't work those prospecting muscle groups, the emails that you should have been sending, the creativity you should have been bracing, the cold calling, and the objection handling. You've had 3 months to rust, and that's a long time in sales. And why would you position yourself to start the new year from a weak position? I want you to start it from a position of strength. So maybe this last one kind of should have went under the time management thing, because you really have to manage your time better in order to close up the business, but also to create new opportunities going into the year. So I want you to think about that. Think about some of the things that we talked about today, and understand that the fourth quarter, you absolutely have to change some tactics. You absolutely need to add some tactics. You need to be mindful of a lot of things, and you need to respect the fact that you do not have a full quarter like you do other times of year. And you have a lot of things that could be disadvantages, but you also have a lot of things you can leverage, like the seasonal messaging that we talked about. So please make sure that you work on those things. And before you go, I just want to let you know, we're going to be addressing this in a more specific fashion. Today, I think I went more philosophical, but we're going to get into the actual tactics that you need to be embracing in a really cool webinar that I have coming up this Thursday, October 3rd at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. And if you happen to be listening to this now and saying, oh man, I wish you would have given me some more time, I got a thing, or you're listening to this after October 3rd, 2019, I want to let you know that I record all of my webinars. And when I give you the link to go to, I don't care if it's 6 months after this podcast, you can certainly go there and you can get the recorded version and all the goodies that I'm giving away, because I've got special templates just for the fourth quarter. I have special tactics just for the fourth quarter. I have a bonus ebook just for the fourth quarter, and it's designed in a way to help you expedite your deals, which is something that you have to be thinking about right now. If you go to yoursalesplaybook.com/year-end, all one word, Y-E-A-R-E-N-D, year-end, yoursalesplaybook.com/year-end, you can sign up, but better do it soon. Oh, one last thing before I forget. This webinar that we have coming up, we're approaching it a little bit differently. One thing that you never get in a webinar when you do it is the ability to interact with the webinar host after the webinar and ask questions, but do an assignment and get feedback. I actually have an assignment that I'm going to have everybody do in the webinar. Once you send it to me, you're going to get individualized feedback. We will keep up a dialogue, you and I, through email. So you're basically getting me as a very temporary coach right after the webinar, which I think, I hope, you'll find value in that. So once again, yoursalesplaybook.com/year-end. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I'm wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit our blog at yoursalesplaybook.com/blog.